Real College Podcast is presented by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and is a production of Radio K.
You're listening to Real College Podcast, and I'm your host, Alex Schumacher. Now, if you're anything like me, you probably don't spend a ton of time thinking about fashion. Sure, you sort of care what you wear. I mean, you go to the store every few months, maybe you follow the latest trends, but whether or not you think about it, fashion is important, for better or for worse. And what you wear makes a statement. Well, this week here at Real College Podcast, we're diving straight into fashion. Fashion Week, thrifting, and more here on Real College Podcast. Where do you think of when you think of Fashion Week? You probably think of Paris or New York, maybe Milan. You certainly don't think of Minnesota. But Minnesota does have a Fashion Week. Every fall here for the past few years, the Twin Cities has held Minnesota Fashion Week. So this year, we sent two reporters, Chloe and Chloe, to see what it was about.
This is Chloe.
And this is Chloe as well, and we are here giving RCP a glimpse into Minneapolis Fashion Week at an event entitled Conspiracy of Strange Girls, which is an art and fashion collective aimed at sort of showcasing the strange and uncanny art of Minneapolis.
This is Minnesota Fashion Week that we are covering. Kind of what I've thought about going into covering Minnesota Fashion Week is that it definitely just inherently will be less legitimate than the other fashion weeks, which are kind of more like categories, like fashion is an art. New York, London, Milan, Paris are kind of like categories. It seems like with Minnesota Fashion Week that it's like, this is Minnesota, and here is what we have as far as fashion. So that's kind of what it's looked like as we've gone through all the events that are happening and looked at the descriptions. The reason why we ultimately chose to cover this one is because it has kind of less of a retail angle. A lot of the events that were available to go to for Minnesota Fashion Week were more just like, we have this store, come look at models wearing the clothes
we have at the store. Yeah, a lot of them featured like pop-up shops and themed runway shows. And what made this one stand out is that it actually features an interactive setting where you can see the individual artist's work and interact with it. And it just displays more individuality and, yeah.
Yeah, and this event in particular, is a lot more performance art angled than a runway setting or just kind of having clothes or accessories on a hanger. We've seen a lot of people who are kind of like in between models and actors who are showing the pieces but also kind of into some kind of character. Because this event is, they're calling it a haunted house of high fashion. So everything is supposed to be really creepy and they definitely pull that off. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, just walking around, you can see every guest is in all black and...
Because I'm pretty sure that most of the people who were drawn to this event are here because of that, like, advertising, that it's a haunted house of high fashion.
The event in general is dedicated to promoting the creative work of what they call strange girls. So all women, femme-identifying, non-binary, and the unusual, queer, the mysterious is all displayed here at this event. So we'll go through and show you guys what it's all about.
The first person we interviewed is Sika Dawn.
She's one of the producers of the event and has actually previously worked at New York Fashion Week.
Hello. Hi, I'm Sika Don. I was one of the producers for the event that is going on tonight, Cultus Unknown with the Conspiracy of Strange Girls. I am the owner and operator of the Fox Den Salon and an editorial stylist that travels nationally doing hair and makeup for runways all over the world.
So how do you feel this particular event stands out from the other events of Minnesota Fashion Week? Because I know that you guys are steering away from the traditional model, runway model, and sort of having a more interactive setting.
We started this particular showcase because we wanted to feature kind of more of the avant-garde and more of the artistic side of it versus the commercialized side. Our real goal was to like bring the art to it and also make people think about fashion in more of a way to express yourself and to be inspired, to like showcase something special about what you are and what you're bringing to the table, whether that be in the everyday or in an avant-garde, just so that people leave feeling like, oh, I could do something different versus the same all the time. So, but yeah, it is very different than a lot of other fashion weeks in other towns, and I think it's really cool, and as long as they keep bringing in more diversity, it's going to stay being really worthwhile for that. I produced a fashion week show for the spring showcase as well, and I tried to include diversity and did a traditional fashion show for that called Flagrant. So when we came up with this idea to do something more exciting, we were like, we can break the mold even more than doing just casting diversity. We can actually like have a diverse experience. Having something interactive isn't new to Fashion Week. Before we had Fashion Week MN, which is our current iteration, there was Minnesota Fashion Week many years ago, and one of the like classic ones was somebody had done like a house with different exhibits in it. So when we were kind of thinking back on how can we do something that's really exciting, that's kind of a game changer for the new scene, we're like, let's go back to an old favorite. We really lucked out with working with the Germanic Institute because we are being featured in a big classic mansion. We get to like have a haunted house, and it's really like a giant haunted house. It's totally perfect. The bonus for this too is, as a collective, we really like to work on things that we can benefit our community, and by working with the Germanic Institute, we're benefiting them and all their programs by paying to rent their space. So it was kind of a twofold thing where we get to introduce more art to the scene, but we also get to benefit our community as well at the same time.
So what do we think? What was your favorite?
I think as a whole, I mean, it definitely stands out as the most creative show. So when you first walk in, you enter this spooky old house with red
carpet going all the way up this very grandiose stair.
Yes, a grand staircase. And when you walk up this staircase, you enter another level of the floor where a spooky organ plays, adding to the spooky
the ambiance. And it's like a plantation style home, if that helps anyone imagine the architecture. So one of the exhibits on the very top floor, which is when you go up another creepy staircase, there's a man sitting in this big rectangular box, and there's like not really leaves, but like shrubs on the ground, and the artistic statement on it was like, the artist faces her fear of moths in this exhibit.
And in the other corner of the room, we see an artist hanging, dangling.
Artist. I would say that's a model.
Yeah, so it is a model.
A man with a really, 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 really in-your-face mohawk, dangling from, like...
A leather harness.
A leather harness in this big circle. And then there's another person just wearing this kind of, like, leather dog mask. The whole aesthetic of this upstairs room is the very kind of, like, I think you can call it fetish wear. What I really like about this event is that it's kind of more of just showcasing artists. It's not about money. Well, it probably is, to a certain extent.
I mean, there's no pop-up shops, and there's no, like...
It's cool how, like, you see a lot of artists talking to each other here, and they all seem to be working together.
And they all seem
and
to it's be more collaborating with collaborating. Each other. Yeah, for sure.
And more, like, spreading their brand. People just coming here because they're curious helps gives their art exposure, and they all have their Instagrams linked on little sheets of paper, so you can go find them. It's great.
Thanks for coming on this adventure with us, and we hope you enjoyed the spooky event that displayed Minnesota's local fashion.
thrifting would be the exact opposite of a fashion week. In contrast to new fashion and runways and pop-up shops, you have people who go and look for used and vintage clothing. Nathan Fervoy looks at thrifting here in the Twin Cities and at the larger role it may play in society.
Find the other one.
Yeah, wait, what did you find right now?
I found a Converse. It's a good size too. It's like a men's 10 or something. Mm-hmm. And it's made in USA, but of course I can only find one. Just gotta find the other one. And if I can, it's like $40, quick.
Yeah.
All it takes is one good pile.
One person. You can come up.
Yeah, I don't know about that. And there it is, at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
What's on the bottom?
Well, if it wasn't there, it wouldn't break things down. There would be no decomposition. So you would, if you think of the yin and yang, you know, you would lose the yang to the yin. But if you lose that, then stuff piles up. You don't return energy to the soils, and eventually the cycle would break down.
Jonathan Schilling is a fungal biologist at the U. His research focuses on the types of fungi which quietly grow from decomposing piles of plant matter along the forest floor and often go unnoticed.
A year like this, when it's been wet and continuously so over the course of the fall, it's just amazing how many different fungi you'll see, how many shapes and colors. And when you take pictures of these and bring them back and show people pictures, a lot of times I've been asked a lot, seriously, that have been whether I photoshopped the pictures. You know, they're orange, red, all kinds of shapes and sizes and stuff. No, I'm not photoshopping. These are all out there. You know, they're weird. There's some cool, interesting morphology in these mushrooms. So when you go out, and I think we have a hard time conceptualizing things if we can't see them. If you start pointing at individual organisms and then giving them some character, I think over time it convinces others, students and things, that there is character in these communities that you can dissect out and see them for the individuals that they are, instead of just this soup. And so I love doing it. And the fungi, there's no better group to do it with, because again, they do some weird stuff.
If strange life forms can arise from waste piled on a forest floor, can the same be true of other piles of waste and detritus? What can we learn when we focus in on these characters?
I'm Vinny Nantavongsa. I'm on West 7th Street selling vintage clothing. I've been doing it since I was like 16, I'm 30.
What's your name?
Zach. We're at my pop-up shop on 7th and St. Paul at the Bearded Mermaid. But now that I've been doing this for a while, I see something I like, and then I know what the market is, I know what people are looking for. So, I mean, that just makes it easy for me that I've been doing it for so long. I don't know, I kind of just know, if that makes sense, but yeah. Just what I like to do for fun. I quit playing sports in college just to play, or just to thrift. Like, I love it. I have my heart's big for it.
Yeah.
It's a little side hustle. It's fun, you know. It's like, oh, I'm making money on the side, and it's just.
Did you bike? Yeah. Do you ever think about like where the clothes is coming from, or anything like that, or like what its past history is?
Dude, you wouldn't believe some of the stories, man. We've seen like spiders the size of our hand. We even saw a colony of rats that came out in one of the bins, and that was bad. I've found poopy jeans, stuff with piss all over it. It's the smelliest of things. It gets nasty in there sometimes. It gets so nasty. But like, I don't know why I don't wear gloves, honestly. I should probably wear gloves, but.
When you look at a piece of brown rotted wood, it has a particular look, and there's actually one on the counter over there. And if I were to describe it, it's underneath the flower pot. Yeah, you can pull it out. Yeah, there you go. So if you look at it, it's first of all brown, pretty straightforward, but it has a look to it where it has these cross checks. So we're looking at a piece of wood that's a piece of lumber, and it had some rot in it. And so the wood is exposed and it's crumbly on one end. Against the grain or perpendicular to the grain are all these little things called cubicle checks. And that is an indicator that a fungus got in there and depolymerized this so that it really kind of erased the grain. And it's a very specific way to eat wood to do that. It's almost like slicing and dicing a bowl of noodles when you attack it. And it reduces the strength in the piece of wood. It turns it brown because there's a lot of lignin left behind. And it's a very unique way, it's kind of a trick that the fungi use to get those carbohydrates out of the piece of wood. Graders are waiting around for the chance to take advantage of the tree when it dies, and then again, as that process goes, it will take carbon from the tree and use it to grow.
Seriously, oh yeah, most of it is like stuff that have passed, people that have passed away, and it's honestly the best stuff I find. But because it's the oldest, and yeah.
What are you looking for when the new bin is out like that?
I'm looking for hints of vintage, anything that looks like it's older. So I'm looking for like the 90s and earlier sleeves, they'll have different stitching.
You find any like crazy stuff in the bins ever?
Oh yeah, I found like Burberry. I've sold those for like, I don't know, $200 to $300, and Tommy sailing gear jacket sold for $350. So it's, once you find the good stuff, that's the most fun part about it, is selling it for a big profit.
You get a rush from when you find some big stuff like that?
Yeah, of course. You gotta be careful when you yell too loud, because then people will come over and take all the other stuff once you found one piece. But yeah, it's so fun, and then you get hooked and addicted to it.
It gets awkward too, like if there's one other vintage guy right next to it and then you want to stand next to him, it's like, well, he got the spot first, but you know, like that could be the one pile where there's 20 of them, and, you know what I mean, if you don't get that, there might be nothing for the rest of the day, so it's worth it just to kind of invade that space, but then also it's kind of weird, you know, but at the same time, it's like some people, it's like their livelihood. There's less that it gets. It's like if there's a pile and you're right next to me, it's like first come, first serve. It's not like I can get mad at you for grabbing it before me. That's the way it goes.
It's a type. And that just gives it character. You know, if it's combative, sometimes I call like the fungi that are down in the soil that wait for trees to hit the ground so they can colonize them, like sharks swimming around in the soils, you know, and there are these traits and characters that you would be almost doing it a disservice if you didn't apply your own feelings or characters to them, because it makes it so much more enjoyable to learn about, you know. And these fungi that are breaking down plant tissues, again, it's a lot of investments involved. They tend to not be so combative. There are some that are combative, but it's a process. And so really, I think one of the things they depend on is time. And what they'll do is slowly work their way through these tissues with the assumption that slow and steady is the way to deal with it. So it's a trick that I think involves being in good company, and it's one that also is probably best done by taking your time, because haste makes waste.
Dude, I want to cry right now.
My name is Pablo, but I go by like Mo. Everybody calls me Mo. Yeah, I bought a lot of stuff. Like, I'm a Tommy lover, so like anything that has to do with Tommy, I'll buy. There's a woman called Rosa. She says she has like a random guy from Honduras comes, and he takes all the shoes, and she gets like money for it, and the guy just takes it. So it's basically like random guys. Yeah. I know there's people from like Mexico that can come and go, and those that can, they come here too, they stack it up, and they drive back to Mexico, and that's how they make money too over there.
Right.
Yeah. Every Monday and every Sunday, they have like a big marketplace, and there's like food shops, like, there's like buckets full of clothes, there's like bins, clothes, like cardboards full of clothes. And you can ask them where it comes from, they'll tell you where it comes from. And most of the time it will come from the United States. They could literally smell like how it smells, and like right where we are right now. Mm-hmm. The clothes literally smell the same.
And it's okay for us, because a lot of the stuff that they take is not anything that we care about most of the time.
Uh-huh. It's probably better to think about like the later, late successional fungi. So the first round of colonizers is early successional fungi, and they have like the job to do. They know what they're after. They have the machinery to do it, and they go in, and then those organisms get done, and then they leave behind this like not so great carbon source. So either you don't deal with it, or you and compete with those early colonizers, or you deal with it. So that's, again, anthropomorphically, you know, it's like there's one group, it's tough to compete with getting the first crack at all of the good stuff. But then they would leave all that behind, and then there's a whole group that are the secondary successional colonizers, and they're like a type, you know, and they deal with like some things that were hand-me-downs from the previous generation. They want to get in there and get started, but they'll wait their turn, and then they have a whole suite of different mechanisms for unlocking a little extra carbon out of that material.
That's actually another business. They, all the stuff that doesn't get bought by us or taken, they ship it to other people, and they buy it by like the ton or whatever, and then they go through and they'll still find good stuff in it, like, because we miss stuff all the time, even though like there's so many different kinds of citrus here that like, for all kinds of different things.
It's like a whole filtering process.
Yeah, it is a filtering process.
All those different communities are predictable as types. And so there's first, and secondary, tertiary colonizers, and then ultimately that stuff ends up in the soil organic layer, but there are other things down there continuing to utilize it, almost like stripping the heavy metals out of old processors and stuff. You know, there's stuff in there. But to get it back, to extract it back out, it has to be worth your time and money. And so it depends on your governments and where you are in the planets and your socioeconomic stance and strategy and stuff. So it's kind of the same way where it gets used, but it's multiple different parties that use and reuse and reuse and reuse until it finally it's threadbare totally.
The market now for like new clothes is like a lot of fast fashion stuff, you know, like H&M, all those types of stores. And I think people are really just kind of getting tired of like the same old, same old. Vintage really.
At one point, people were really like disgusted with used clothes. It's kind of like obviously getting more accepted, and it's like good for the environment. And yeah.
And on the yin and yang, you know, there's. They're involved with every part of the cycle of trees, from birth to growth to death, and it's probably the same for us, you know. And as the trees make energy from sunlight, they shunt up to 20% or more, I guess, of that energy in the form of carbon down to these root-associated fungi, without whom they would not be able to secure nitrogen at Itasca or phosphorus in a lot of places in the world. So those two nutrients are vital for tree growth, and if they cannot get to them because they're hard to find or they're locked in organic matter, the fungi can help. Do I relate myself to a fungus? I don't think so. I don't know. Actually, I don't know. I definitely relate fungi to us as people all the time, all the time. There's no better way to teach than being anthropomorphic.
Dig in. Thanks to all the thrifters heard in this story. You can look through their best finds on Instagram at binballerthrifts, vinbuck_vintage, offtherackvintage, thrifts with Mo, and thrift filet. Special thanks to Jack, Mo, and of course, the fungal specialist, Jonathan Schilling. For RCP, I'm Nathan Fervoy.
Finally, whether it's vintage or new, many musicians have a very signature look on stage. So, keeping us in the loop about all things fashion and music, here's producer Lizzie Ritchie.
Something that has been becoming increasingly more common lately is the merging between the fashion and the music industry. Music icons have obviously always been known for their good fashion, but now music artists are also making their way into creating their own brands, their own clothing lines, and even dabbling in pop-up shops. it seems to be starting with designing their own merch and then using kind of like social media to amplify that. And with the new coming age of social media, it seems that it's now easier for the music and the fashion industry to interact with one another. So, to keep y'all updated with some of the most recent news of music artists and their fashion endeavors, I'm going to be sharing some current stories about the music scene. I guess to first start off with is the most recent news of Lady Gaga and Harry Styles, two absolute fashion icons in the music industry, announced to be serving as two co-chairs of the Spring 2019 Met Gala. They will be apparently joining with Serena Williams, Gucci creative director Alessandro Michele, and Anna Wintour, all wonderful people. I know last year's Met Gala, there was a decent amount of people who were displeased with the fact Harry Styles did not attend, especially with the theme being heavenly bodies, fashion, and the Catholic imagination. For those who didn't see any of the pictures from last year's Met Gala, it was absolutely beautiful, stunning. Everyone was wearing dresses and suits that made them look like they were from straight out of a Renaissance painting. It was absolutely wonderful. It was a beautiful theme. So I guess everyone wanted to see Harry Styles do that theme up in a beautifully designed Gucci suit, or at least I did. So hopefully this year, neither him or Lady Gaga will disappoint and serve their best looks. Some other recent artists that have been big names in the fashion scene lately are people like Tyler, the Creator, A$AP Rocky, Beyoncé, etc. Tyler especially has been in the limelight with his most recent pop-up shop in LA that opened up in September, and also because of his more recent designs that he released for his brand Golf Wing. He has been designing his own stuff ever since he started out as a part of the collective Odd Future that started back in 2007. He started off designing merch, and he's been doing more and more every single year, bringing better designs every second of the way. Another artist that has been killing it right now is Rihanna. She's obviously been doing her own thing with her lingerie line, Fenty, and she's been doing a fantastic job. She's been using models of all shapes and sizes, truly doing a really nice job representing different body types, which is super important. And it shouldn't be an uncommon thing for the fashion industry, but unfortunately it is. But it's great because good influencers make good brands. That's why I think that the music industry and the fashion industry coming together is so amazing, because I really think that they actively help each other out. It's opened doors for fashion to become more for every day and making street fashion grow more and more. It's becoming more of a common thing for people to want to express themselves, for them looking up to their favorite artists and seeing like, I want to be like that, I want to dress like that. And, you know, I really hope to see some new artists dipping their toes more and more and designing their own stuff and getting involved in the fashion industry, because it really is exciting.
Well, that's all for Real College Podcast this week. Thanks to Chloe O'Gara and Chloe Holland for covering Fashion Week for the podcast. Thanks to producers Nathan and Lizzie for their stories. Real College Podcast is a production of Radio K. It's produced by Ben Hallam, Liv Briggins, Lizzie Ritchie, and Nathan Fervoy. Yours truly is the managing editor of the podcast, as well as the host. All episodes of the podcast can be found online at RadioK.org or on Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.